Pinkus, Phineas, Pinkus, whoever you want to call him, we see in this week that it starts off with really kind of finishing up where it started last week, right? It kind of continues. It really is a part two. And you look at it and we see Pinkus, for what many people would call just flat out murdering Zimri. And they say, you know, it's just murder. How is he blessed for this? Well, I want to look a little bit into this, because the start really is at the towards the end of last week's portion. So Numbers 24 from last week's portion of Balak, it kind of starts the ending of the portion this way. It says Numbers 24:25. It says, "Then Balaam got up and went and returned to his own place, and Balak went on his way." So it would seem like a small detail. They get up and they go their separate ways. But apparently, Balaam didn't leave very quietly. Apparently, he gave some advice to Balak. As he was leaving, Balak whispered into Balak's ear, "There is a way of defeating the Israelites." And we see this advice being played out at the end of last week's message portion and the beginning of this week's portion. Numbers 25, 1 through 3, which is actually still a part of last week, but let's read that to set it up. So Numbers 25, 1 through 3 says, "While Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with women from Moab. Then they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, so the people were eating and bowing down before their gods. Then when Israel became bound to Baal of Peor, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel." This was directly from Balaam's advice. And it sets up the actions of our hero, Pinkus, in this portion. Now, Zimri, we heard a little bit about it from Dr. Dave. Zimri, the Israelite, brought a Moabite woman into his tent to have relationships with her. And it was Pinkus who went in to kill them both. One spear through the man's belly into the woman, a sin kebab. Killed them both. But it was not just a random murder because Pinkus didn't like what was going on. It was more than that. He was following Adonai's zealousness, which is why he was looked favorably upon by Adonai. We need to read the next verse in order to see that it really was the will of Adonai. Numbers 25:4 says this, "Adonai said to Moses, 'Seize all the ringleaders and hang them before Adonai facing the sun, so that Adonai's fierce anger may be turned away from Israel.'" Now, Zimri was a prince of the Simeonites, and he was a leader both of his family and apparently based on his brazenness, by bringing the woman in front of everybody else, he was a leader in those who were partaking in this sin. Now, just a few more verses later, we see at the start of this week's portion how Adonai felt about the actions of Pinkus. Numbers 25:10, that first verse of this week, says this, "Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, 'Pinkus, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the Kohen, has turned away my anger from Bnei Israel because he was very zealous for me among them, so that I did not put an end to Bnei Israel in my zeal. So now say, see, I am making with him a covenant of shalom. It will be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood because he was zealous for his God and atoned for Bnei Israel. So I'm calling this message having zeal, because Adonai says it was the actions of Phinehas that held back his actions that would have put an end to Bnei Israel. Both Phinehas and Adonai had zeal. And it's this zeal that we're going to look at today. So what we see in this portion is that there was a zeal in the actions of Phinehas, and it was rewarded as a priesthood for him and his descendants. Phinehas was recognized as a zealot for Adonai because of his actions and his attitude. But we must see that it was not an action that he took on his own, but because Adonai called for it. He was zealous for the things that Adonai was zealous for. You know the song we sing, I am zealous over Zion. I am zealous over Zion. But what's it mean to be zealous? It doesn't mean acting out in your own passion. But a zealot must say to Adonai, not my will, but yours be done. So what does it mean to be zealous? Well, Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that being zealous is marked by fervent partisanship of a person, a cause, or an ideal. Filled with or characterized by zeal. In other words, it's someone who is completely sold out for an idea or an action. When applied to Adonai, we can see that Adonai is zealous for Zion, was zealous for Israel. He protects and he provides for her. And nothing goes before her except for his holiness. Now, some synonyms, things that mean the same thing as zealous, include enthusiastic, burning, fiery, passionate, red hot, and gung-ho. Now, antonyms, things that are against, are dry, impersonal, cold, emotionless. Now, in Numbers 25:13, which I read earlier, the word for zealous is kana. It's defined by Strong's as a primitive root, and that means other words come out of it. And it means to be or to make zealous, or in a bad sense, jealous or envious. It can also mean jealous, enthusiastic, or eagerness. And this is why Adonai's zeal can take the form of jealousy. We're told of his zeal for Israel in Exodus 34. So reading from Exodus 34:12, it says this, watch yourself and make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, or they will become a snare among you. Instead, you must break down their altars, smash their pillars, and cut down their Asherah poles. For you are to bow down to no other god, because Adonai is jealous for his name. He is a jealous God. He's jealous or zealous for Israel and for us to follow only him to salvation. And he wants us to be single-minded for him as well, just as he's single-minded for us. We see this zeal in 2 Kings 19, where the prophet Isaiah tells King Hezekiah this, starting in 2 Kings 19:30. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will take root downward and bear fruit upward. For from Jerusalem, a remnant will go out, and survivors from Mount Zion. The zeal of Adonai Tzvaot will accomplish this. Now, this prophecy is also quoted in Isaiah 37. And it says that because of Adonai's zeal, Judah will put down its roots and it will bear fruit, and that a remnant will go out from Jerusalem. It's his love and his jealousy for us that will save Judah, and it's of salvation that Isaiah is speaking of, as well as saving the physical nation of Judah. But it was also that prophecy towards us. It's the zeal of Adonai that accomplishes salvation. We see this again in another prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, which most of us know. So chapter 9, Isaiah 9, starting in 5, if you're following in your scriptures, 6 in the English scriptures, says this: "For to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, My Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and shalom there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore, and zeal of Adonai, Tisbaoth, will accomplish it." Adonai is speaking of Yeshua the Messiah, who is for the salvation of the world, which is accomplished by his great zeal, it says. Why is this his zeal? Because it's what he cares about the most: salvation of men. It's the purpose of all of this. It's the remedy of the sin that occurred in the Garden of Eden. It's why we have the Torah. Just like in 2 Kings 19, Isaiah says that salvation is accomplished by the zeal of Adonai. That means that salvation is of the utmost importance to Adonai. We can see another definition of zeal given to us by Yeshua himself in Matthew. Matthew 16, starting in 24, says this: "Then Yeshua said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Zeal is giving up all our priorities for the priorities of Adonai. This doesn't mean that you'll have nothing. It really means that you're going to have everything that Adonai wants to give you. In the physical, the financial, the spiritual, what he wants you to have, you will have when you have the same zeal that he has. It means possibly not having what you thought was important, not having what you fought for, but it does mean having what he wants you to have and fighting for what he wants you to fight for. Now, we're told in Numbers 25:13 about Phinehas that he was Kana Elohim, not just zealous for Adonai, but zealous for the things and the cause of Elohim. However, it is possible for people to be zealous and not have salvation. It's even possible to be zealous for Adonai and not have salvation. Shaul says that the Jewish people of the time had a zeal for Adonai, but they did not submit to the righteousness or the word or to Adonai, which is Torah. He states Torah is the path to righteousness, but only if you trust in it and follow it. The importance of zeal is to have the zeal for the correct thing. You have to have zeal, but only for the correct thing. Our zeal must be for the Messiah, as it is the goal of Torah. There are many with zeal for many things. They may even believe that their zeal comes from the Word of God. They may think that it's their zeal is for a goal that Adonai has and has given them. But Adonai tells us his zeal is for salvation of others. I believe that people have allowed their zeal to be moved from salvation to other things. From what Adonai wants to other things. They believe Adonai would want politicians who line up to the word of Adonai. It's not a bad thing. I think it's right. They believe that Adonai would want them to fight for justice. Not a bad thing. Some of them have zeal for the environment, world peace, good choices. For some, it's sports and entertainment. Sliding a little bit, but. For some, it's their work and their job and their families. I understand it, but for some it's a combination of all of these things. What they fail to do is to place what Adonai really wants above all else, the salvation of the world. Rav Shaul describes himself this way before he experienced Yeshua on the road to Damascus in Philippians 3. This is how he describes himself. Then, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the Torah, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting Messiah's community, as for Torah righteousness, found blameless. Shaul recognizes that he had zeal for Torah, but not necessarily for the thing that Adonai had zeal for. He says his zeal was to persecute Messiah's community because they were misreading the Torah in his mind. But the truth is that he was misreading the Torah at that time. And his zeal was for righteousness of the words of the rabbis instead of the word of Adonai, which is salvation through Messiah, as described in Torah. He was willing to put to death those he thought was going against Torah. But Adonai does not want death for them, but eternal life in front of him. This was the change that Shaul went through, the Apostle Paul went through, changing from zeal of Torah to the love and zeal of Adonai, which is salvation for the people. You can do two things at once, but you still have to have your priorities correct. Make sure how they fit together. Make sure how they fit together with Adonai's zealous wants of salvation. I believe that Shaul came to know through the Ruach HaKodesh that by bringing salvation to people, he was also bringing people to the righteousness of following Torah. Shaul goes from zeal of Torah to zeal of Adonai. Look what he says about himself after the road of Damascus experience. Acts 20:22. And now look, down by the Ruach, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except the Ruach HaKodesh bears witness to me from city to city, saying that bondage and afflictions await me. However, I don't consider my life of any value, except that I might finish my course and the office I received from the Lord Yeshua, to declare the good news of the grace of God. Now look, I know that none of you among whom I have gone proclaiming the kingdom will ever see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. His zeal was for the whole purpose of God. Shaul is saying that now, at the end of time of my time on earth, by the hands of those who are just like he used to be, who is zealous for Torah, that he's done the only thing that counts. He has declared the good news of the grace of God to all. He could have dedicated his life to working to get the poor out of poverty, or to help the prostitutes from their line of work. He could have, you know, changed society to keep anti-Semitism out from hurting the people that he loved through the Roman army. He could have worked to make the life of Jewish people easier. He could have worked to rebuild the temple. He could have worked to feed the poor. But if that was accomplished, then all else would fall in place. Now, what did I just write there? None of that really mattered. Here's what I'm trying to say. None of that really mattered. All of that would have happened if he does the one thing Adonai wants him to do. Salvation for all. Because if he brings salvation to people, they're going to start following Torah. If they start following Torah, what are they going to do? They're going to start feeding the poor. They're going to start rebuilding his kingdom the way he wants his kingdom to be rebuilt. He's going to see everything else start falling into place. People would stop persecuting each other. They would help those in the need. They would revere life so that they wouldn't kill either after death or before death. Before birth. Before birth or after birth. He knew Adonai's priorities and knew the first thing has to be first. Salvation and the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua for all men, for all the world. We are to have the same purpose that Adonai has. When we read scriptures, there's only one reason and one example given to us in all of scripture. Salvation. What we do in life should be either to proclaim it with our words or proclaim it with our actions. The way we live it out. A visual proclamation of what he's zealous for. Anything else is putting your own priorities over his priorities. We have the Torah to live rightly. But there is only one reason to live, and that is relational fellowship with Adonai through Messiah Yeshua for our salvation and live a life that's an example for others to follow, to point them to Messiah Yeshua so they can have a relationship with Adonai. Being on the incorrect path is what Yeshua is telling those who cried out to him in Matthew 7. Let's read Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name? And perform many miracles in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. These people that Yeshua was talking about had a zeal, but not for the same thing that Adonai has a zeal for. The most important thing of Adonai. They thought they did. They thought the things they were being zealous for were the same things that Adonai was zealous for. They were zealous for prophecy. They were zealous about driving out demons. They were zealous about doing miracles. But they apparently were not zealous for salvation. We must be zealous for him and the thing that he's zealous for. Look what Shaul says in Romans 10 about what to be zealous for. Starting in verse 1 of Romans 10. Brothers and sisters, hear my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel and for their salvation. For I tested about them, I testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not based on knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. For Messiah is the goal of the Torah, as a means to righteousness for everyone who keeps trusting. Now the word for righteousness is the Greek word dikaiosune, which Strong's defines as equality of character or action, especially justification or righteousness. So in verses 3 and 4, the last half of what I read, the word righteous could be substituted for justification or salvation. And if we do that, if we exchange the word righteousness for justification and salvation, listen to how it sounds. For being ignorant of God's justification, salvation, and seeking to establish their own. Now, right there, that's a problem. They're looking to seek justification and salvation of their own. For being ignorant of God's justification, salvation, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to justification, salvation of God. For Messiah is the goal of Torah, as a means to justification, salvation for everyone who keeps trusting. Shaul tells us that justification comes only through Messiah Yeshua. The point of the instructions of the Torah is not justification of people. Justification comes only through Messiah Yeshua. Absolutely. But sanctification, the walking out of life, that will keep us in line. That will keep us, you know, approved by Adonai. That's the Tanakh. That's the instructions that we receive. If our love is for Messiah Yeshua, so that we're justified, then our zeal should be to share Messiah Yeshua so that others can find their justification by him just as well as we have. Share the good news, they see the justification that comes through Adonai. This in turn will guide them to the words of Torah and the desire of Yeshua, which is the Tanakh, which is Torah. So how do we bring a sinner to faith in Messiah? Do you first stop them from sinning so that they can be brought to the throne? Or do you first bring them to the throne so that the Ruach can give them the ability to stop sinning? Of all the commandments, including the Big Ten, they are all "you shall" or "you shall not." None of them say stop others from doing something. They say, stop yourself. None of them say, force others to do good. as we read scripture and it says, you shall not kill, we have to read it as, I shall not kill. Torah is written so that you will know and follow the words of Adonai, not so that we can apply them to other people. It's up to each one of us individually to apply them to ourselves. We can't depend on other people applying them to us so that we stay in line. We have to do it ourselves. And we can't expect to do it for others. They have to do it themselves. I'm not here to force any of you into anything, but to help you interpret the word so that you can go freely and follow it. And after doing that, so that you can share the good news, so that people will then make a free decision to follow the good news, and then the instructions as given throughout the scripture, as is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, and for training in righteousness, so that the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. That good deed is them sharing the good news, as well as them stopping their own sins. Just as we were able to make that decision freely for ourselves. Now, we can have zeal for social action and justice, but that does not mean that you have zeal for the same thing that Adonai and Yeshua have zeal for. Some would even have a zeal for the law of Adonai, or Torah, or the instructions of Adonai. But they place it over the zeal that Yeshua has for salvation for all. Torah points us towards the method of salvation. Torah points us towards the blood of Messiah Yeshua. And this is what our number one zeal should be for. For if you believe your zeal is first for anything else, even if you believe that zeal you received is because of something you've read in Scripture, your zeal, I'm sorry to say, is out of priority with what Adonai has a priority for. Regardless of what you have the zeal for, you have to make sure salvation for others is above that. We see over and over again people putting their own zeal above salvation. We see it. We don't always call it that, but we see it. We have to check ourselves. We can't do it for them. We can only do it for ourselves. We have to check ourselves and look, Ruach HaKodesh, what is my zeal for? Is my zeal the same thing as your zeal? Because every time I read scripture, it's about salvation. And then out of salvation comes all the other things. But all the other things don't come first to bring salvation. So we have to make sure we have our priorities right. We have to make sure our zeal is for the same thing that Adonai's zeal is for. Amen? Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you that you've told us through your word what your zeal is for. We thank you that you have shown us as an example, shown us by your words, shown us even by your actions, where your zeal lies. It lies through into salvation. Every time you took action in the Tanakh, it was towards salvation for your people. Every time Yeshua took actions in the Brit HaBashah, it was to bring salvation. Every letter that Rav Shaul wrote was to bring salvation. And when we read that final chapter, Revelation, the final book, Revelation, each one of those is to bring salvation, to bring us into your presence. Father, I ask that you touch the hearts of those who are hearing this message, that you would help each one of us look deep inside our hearts, our own hearts, and help us determine, are we zealous for what you're zealous for? Is that which we're putting our greatest effort towards, that which you want our greatest effort towards? Father, we thank you that your word tells us just what it should be. You are a great and mighty and wonderful God who does not leave us in the dark, who does not leave us guessing about your love and your mercies, nor of your desires, nor of your zeal for salvation for others. Ruach, I just ask that as we go forth during this week, that zeal would burn in us, that we would speak to others of your salvation through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, as we're told in the Tanakh, in Leviticus 17, that the blood was given for the salvation of all. Father, we thank you for your words. And everyone says, amen and amen.